9. We talk about happiness a great deal, or I suppose sometimes the lack of it. Are children under too much pressure? Do competitive lifestyles damage social cohesion or community splintering? Downing Street even held a seminar on life satisfaction at one point. David Cameron speaks about policies that put joy in people's hearts. Well, we talk also about life balance. There's a discussion coming up at the Arnolfini Cultural Centre in Bristol on the politics of well-being, and we're joined now by the participants. They are Tom Hodgkinson, editor of The Idler, author of How to Be Free, A Merry Manifesto, there's a nice title, and Oliver James, James, psychologist, and of course author of Affluenza, about which we talked not too long ago on the programme. Tom Hodgkinson, do you think that people are beginning to think about how public policy and happiness go together? Because if that's the case, it's new, isn't it?
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, I would actually question the idea that public policy or legislation of any kind can contribute to the sort of sum of national well-being. In fact, I think it's the idea of a sort of commonwealth government, a sort of interfering government, in fact, that is the problem in the first place.
Well, but surely some interference is, if that's the word you use, is necessary to stop bad things happening to people.
Well, that's what you're... That's justice, yes. I mean, that's the legal framework. That's something different from government. What I'm talking about is a sort of ethical shift that will actually come from bottom up, not from top down, which is what Oliver's talking about, a sort of questioning of money values and materialism and the competitive ethic.
And Oliver James, do you see any signs that it's actually happening?
Certainly the government are talking about it, but they're just waving it around like they wave the word aspiration and freedom around to try and encourage people to vote for them.
But if they're doing it,
never mind about happiness, we weren't put on this earth to be happy. What government can do is reduce mental illness. Look at the English-speaking nations like Britain, where 23% have been ill in the last 12 months, or America, where 26% have been ill, and compare that, the English-speaking nations, with mainland Western Europe, where only 11.5% have been mentally ill in the last 12 months. And the reason is simple. Firstly, in mainland Western Europe, they get children. They care for them properly in the first 6 years. And it's not genes that cause the foundation of mental illness. It's actually it's early childhood exit. And secondly, they're less afflicted on the continent by the affluenza virus of placing too high a value on money, possessions, appearances, and fame.
So if you hear Tom saying we want less interference by government, you think that misses the point?
Well, I certainly think we want less interference of the kind that is paradoxically called the free market. We are massively interfered with by neoconservative political economics. But if you have relatively unselfish capitalism like they have on the continent, yes, of course, it involves the government is vital in setting the framework in which parents are able to meet the needs of their small children. For example, this government in the last 10 years have been lamentable in terms of the meeting of the needs of small children, because parents have been so encouraged to be obsessed with work, with having dual household incomes when their children are under
three, too much homework.
And tremendous amount of encouragement from the government to particularly single mothers, to get out to work rather than look after their children.
Tom Hodgkinson, what do you make of that?
Well, I think that's absolutely on the money. I mean, we've got a very hard-working, pro-work government. Remember that Gordon Brown has a Presbyterian background. It's about the Protestant work ethic. And when I talk about merriment and a merry manifesto, what I'm talking about is going back to a pre-Puritan culture, before Calvin, before Luther came along and told us that we were lonely, competitive strivers, and back to a sort of medieval idea of society.
Slight oversimplification of history, if I may.
Well, I've read quite a lot of books on this. You know,
yes.
there was a huge shift, an interior shift. Man as a community-minded creature to man as an individual, lonely person. And that's reflected immediately in the Renaissance with individual portraiture, for example. So this is the sort of historical thing that we're dealing with. There was a change from an idea of society, of man as community-minded, merriment, festivity all the year round, which you see today in somewhere like Mexico, which hasn't had the Puritan influence, to an idea of that man is a lonely individual striver. You've got to make a lot of money and look after yourself.
In a sentence, Oliver James, are they happier in Mexico?
In Mexico? I don't think...
I said a sentence.
There's quite a lot of mental illness in Mexico, but generally people in the third world are mentally healthier.
On that point, we'll leave it.
In English-speaking nations.
Oliver James, Tom Hodgkinson, thank you very much.
Andrew Marr is next. Our editors with Times in Order.